And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I once knew a person who had all the right words. Not in this church, of course. It was in another place. He knew all the right words, and I was thrilled to have such an articulate person in my congregation. And he was bright, well-read, could out-debate the noblest opponent. And fortunately, he was on the right side of nearly every political, social, and church issue. That is, he agreed with me. And then there was a woman who had all the wrong words. When we talked, I would cringe. I wondered to myself why someone with such prehistoric views would even bother to come to church at all. She was on the wrong side of nearly every issue and wasn't shy about telling anyone about it. I respected this man with all the right words and barely tolerated the woman with all the wrong words. But then slowly things changed, because the man was always in favor of our programs and emission projects, but never could find time to get involved. He talked a good talk, but no action. And to my surprise, the woman always came through. And some of you ladies can, I knew that. I knew that she would. And there were projects in the church, such as getting gifts, as we do here at St. Catherine's, for the needy people. And she was opposed to that. She just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And she was the only one to cast a negative vote in the annual meeting. And yet, when the project started, there she was, working faithfully, getting behind it, because the majority had agreed. Now, I find it disturbing when people with the wrong words do the right deeds, because that messes up my neat categories that I have everybody put in, you see. I have little slots that I put people in, and it confuses my stereotypes. And I can almost hear Jesus say, well, I'm so glad of that. That's just what's going on in today's gospel reading, you see. He is talking with the religious leaders of the establishment in Jerusalem. And here they are bantering back and forth. They said, what authority do you have to do these things? He said, well, let me ask you, why didn't you believe John? Basically is what he said. And then he interrupts this by telling a story. He said a certain man had two sons. And the father asked both of them to work for him. And the first one said, no, I'm not going to do it. But he went and worked anyway. Second one said, oh, father, I'd be glad to go, but never showed up. And Jesus said, now, which one do you think did the will of the father? And these scribes and Pharisees were brilliant. They said, the first. And Jesus said, well, if that's so, then why don't you get it? You know God's word. You know the right words to say about God. You teach the right words in the synagogue. Can't you see the presence of God at work in what I'm doing, and yet you continue to battle me. You play word games. You won't consider that you too need to change. Look around you. Tax collectors and prostitutes, though have cheated and lied and exploited others, are coming to their conversion. They're turning around when they hear the word of God, but you don't. The Christian faith, Jesus is saying, is more than just knowing the right words. It's doing the right things as Jesus taught. Soren Kierkegaard said one time, he's a 19th century theologian, that Jesus wants followers. He doesn't want admirers. And the question is, do you agree? The question is, to the question Jesus asked us, will you join me, he says, in the work? Will we go or will we stay like the sons? Like the first son that said, oh, right, I'm not going. But he went anyway, and the second one said, fine, whatever you say, Father, and didn't show up. Jesus says, which side are you on? Which son are you going to be, our daughter? Who is going to do the work of the Father, Jesus is saying. Will you go or will you stay? In his autobiography, Telling Secrets, Frederick Buckner tells a story of one time he was visiting his mother in Manhattan, and he didn't do it very often because he was a busy person, and she had prepared this gourmet meal for him and had set the table beautifully. And they were getting ready to sit down and eat, and the phone rang. And it was a good friend of Buckner's, and the man said, my family's just been in an awful accident, and I'm in the airport waiting to catch the plane to go join them. I need some support. And when Buckner's mother learned of the request, she said, I can't believe this. You're going to leave a meal that I've worked my fingers to the bone for, and you're going to go do this? This is ridiculous. And Buckner said, you know, for a moment, I was horrified to find myself that thinking, maybe she's right. And then the next moment, I saw more clearly than ever than I had ever before that on just such outwardly trivial decisions as this, that human souls are saved or lost. Will we go or will we stay? It's age-old Christian question. Jesus told this parable of two sons as he had just entered Jerusalem, his teaching in the synagogue. And people were very excited about it. He was a hit. And they were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then a week later, they were saying, crucify him. And Peter's promise, I'll never betray you, Lord, was just words. Didn't mean a thing. Jesus says it's not enough to know the words. We have to put them into action. We have to be sensitive to the needs of others and be sensitive to God's will in our lives. I read a story about a little boy who was headed off to school the first day, and his mother had given him the usual instructions, and he had a nice new baseball cap that he was wearing to school, and she took him to the bus, and he got on the bus. And then that afternoon, she met the bus, and he got off the bus, and sure enough, no baseball cap. And she went into the usual parental tirade. I bought that cap for you. You wanted it for months. And here you've lost it on the first day of school, blah, 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 blah. You know the lecture. We've all given it to somebody at one time or the other. And then when the lecture was finally over, the little boy was allowed to speak, and he said, "Mother, you know, my teacher told us that Sandy would not be back to school this year because she's got this thing that makes her hair fall out. And it's going to be getting pretty cold soon. And so I just thought I should give Sandy something to keep her head warm." Once there was a father who had two sons. One said he would go, but he stayed. The other said he would stay, but he went. And the question is put to us this morning, beloved, will we go or will we stay? Will we give ourselves to God's will in our lives, or will we offer something less? May God guide us as we decide, each one of us. Amen.